And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So Egypt had just suffered 9 plagues that had devastated the country and bringing the greatest nation to almost total destruction. Now Moses and Aaron had just told Pharaoh that the next plague would be the death of all the firstborn Egyptians. If a firstborn Egyptian had witnessed the power of God and believed the next plague would take place, had he placed the blood of a lamb, had he slain the lamb and then placed the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel of his house the night of the Passover, would he have been spared from the death angel? Would he have been worthy to take that first Passover? Well, we see that also worthy to take the Passover in 1 Corinthians 11 and chapter 27. And again, Paul warns the Corinthians that if they take the Passover in an unworthy manner, that they will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. With the Passover being just 2 weeks away, we are all sinners. And are we worthy to take the Passover? Because we're all worthy of the death penalty because of our sins. So what does it mean to take the Passover in a worthy manner? So today, let's look at what is required to take the Passover in a worthy manner so that we can be confident that as we take the Passover, we are doing so in a worthy manner. So let's go back to the Old Testament, since this is where the first Passover took place, and look at what the requirements were at that time. If you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, we'll start in verse 43 and go through verse 49. But in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43, it talks about the regulations for the Passover as the heading in my Bible. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, that he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it." So he's beginning to go through who can take the Passover and who should not take the Passover. He says, "In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of the bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it." So all the congregation of Israel would keep it. A bond servant that was paid for and bought and part of the household would keep it, but no sojourner, no stranger. So it is talking about here who can take it. And then in verse 45, it says, "A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it." So it was talking about that if when they went into the promised land, if they took servants into the house at that time, that they would, in fact, they would not be allowed to partake of the Passover. In verse 48, it talks about the stranger as well, and it says, "And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it." So we see here at several places that consistent is circumcision is required of the males if they're going to take of the Passover. So it says, "For no uncircumcised person shall eat it." And it says, "One law shall be for the native-born and for the stranger who dwells among you." So he was just saying that there's not going to be two classes. It's going to be the same law. So if they are circumcised, they all then can partake of the Passover. So if you recall, we don't have to turn there, but just in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 10, circumcision of every male child was a physical, perpetual sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and all of the descendants of Abraham. So the circumcision is a sign of a covenant, of a relationship between God and his people. In Exodus chapter 12, God was telling Moses and Aaron that in order to take a Passover, a person must be a participant in the covenant that was instituted between God and Abraham. Circumcision of the males was a sign that they were under a covenant with God. The instruction was very clear. They could not take the Passover unless they were under a covenant. The covenant with God, which was pictured by circumcision. And the women that were in the household fell under that same covenant. So the women that were in the household of a circumcised male were considered to be under the same covenant and therefore were allowed to take of the Passover. So if we go back to the introduction, that Egyptian firstborn, he could have put all the blood he wanted on the lintel, on the doorposts, but he was not under covenant. So he would not have been saved because he was not taking the Passover, the first Passover, in a worthy manner. So we see that one of the requirements of taking the Passover in a worthy manner is to be a participant in a covenant with God. Well, what does that mean for us today? Because obviously that was the covenant, that was the sign in the old covenant, and obviously we are now under the new covenant. The slain lamb, you know, the first Passover was a type of the Passover that was instituted with the blood and the bread and the wine. You know, the slain lamb at that time in the first Passover was a type of the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that was to be sacrificed. So today we observe the Passover under the new covenant, a relationship between God and man mediated by Christ and ratified by his blood. So what is that? So in order to take the New Testament Passover in a worthy manner, the first thing that we have to do is be under a covenant relationship with God. That covenant relationship we have with God is that we have to be baptized. That is the promise, that is the relationship. We can only participate in the Passover symbols, the bread and the wine, if we have entered into a personal covenant with God. And that covenant is when we are baptized and we have agreed to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we accept Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and our Master. So let's take a look at a few of the other requirements that we to take the Passover in a worthy manner. The first requirement is that you must be baptized. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18, we'll see a few other requirements that it says that we must take it. He says, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it." So here, Paul is correcting the church in Corinth. And he talks, and this is where the subject of unworthy comes up. He says, "I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, another is drunk." This was a totally wrong environment for taking the Passover. This was more like a potluck, a festive occasion. People were not, they were not getting in line orderly. They were pushing ahead. They were taking more than their fair share. And some were drinking wine freely and drunk. Obviously not the environment that they were to be here in a solemn occasion such as the Passover. You know, Paul was clearly upset with their behavior. It was not appropriate any time, and certainly not for a Passover service. The Passover service is a solemn occasion. We come together on Passover to remember Christ's sacrifice. We are to remember the horrible suffering and the death that Christ endured for the reason, one reason only. And that reason is to cover the penalty of our sins. And that's the purpose of the Passover. You know, God's justice demands that our death, would be justice. And God cannot have just waived that death penalty on us. So someone had to pay that penalty. And fortunately, it is Christ, and God in agreement that Christ would come down to earth, live a perfect life, and then die that horrible death. And therefore, his sacrifice was sufficient to cover the penalty of all of our sins. Then let's drop down here to verse 23. And it says in verse 23, and it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And there we see that he goes, explains the meaning of the Passover symbols, of the bread being the broken body of Christ, and the wine being God's blood. And then in verse 26, and it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." What he's saying is, it's the Passover service is a remembrance to bring each year, annually, it is to bring us to remembrance of the sacrifice that Christ has made for each one of us, for the death, for the suffering. And he says we have to do that in a very solemn fashion. We do that in a way that is appropriate for such a physical death that he took. And then he talks about an unworthy manner in verse 27. And he says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." What does that mean, to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord? It means that you're taking the Passover in a way that you have not been forgiven. It means that you are guilty, and the death penalty is still on you. And that's what he's talking about. It means that we have not been forgiven. To take the Passover in an unworthy manner means that we are guilty of our sins, and Christ has not covered them. So we don't ever want to find ourselves in that way. So we all have faults. We all have sins. So what is it that Paul is saying here? What would cause us to be guilty of our sins? Even though we have been baptized, we have been our sins have been covered, and we were buried in a watery grave. So we have no worth in ourselves. We all know that. And what Paul is saying here, that the worth comes from God. God gives us his worth, and we are worthy to partake of the Passover, to partake of the blood and body of Christ through the worth of Jesus Christ. So that's the only way that we can be taking the Passover in a worthy manner. So to take the Passover in an unworthy manner is to not recognize the power of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. To take the Passover in an unworthy manner is not to recognize the power of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins, to cover our sins. So how do we make sure that we don't do that? How we're not guilty of not recognizing that? Again, of ourselves, we're not worthy to take the Passover. However, when we come before God in a humble and a repentant attitude, Christ covers our sins. We're then free of guilt, we're free of sin, and we're worthy to take the Passover. So as long as we're coming before God and asking for forgiveness, as long as we're humble, we are taking the Passover in a worthy manner. If we are under covenant, if we have been baptized, in the name of the body of Christ. So we are required to take the Passover to show God that we are truly believe in the sacrifice of Christ. So we cannot get caught and say, "Well, I'm not worthy to take it," and then not take it. It's absolutely critical that we make ourselves worthy and then take the Passover. We have to believe in the sacrifice of Christ, and we have to have full confidence that his death is sufficient to cover all of our sins. And therefore, that makes us worthy to take the Passover. It says that we're supposed to examine ourselves. Here in verse 28, we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, and it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So what he's saying is, examine yourself and then show up to Passover. That's what he's saying. But when we examine ourselves, what are we to do? Are we to find all of those and rehash all of the sins that we have? That's not what God wants us to do. Remember, God says that when we have asked forgiveness, those sins are blotted out. He doesn't even remember those sins anymore. So that is not the purpose of examining ourselves. The purpose of examining ourselves is to come to a deep understanding of our need for the sacrifice of Christ and his direction in our life. We should not become discouraged when we undergo self-examination. That is not the purpose. We should be encouraged that Christ had died for us, that God and Christ agreed on a pathway, that we have a pathway to forgiveness. And that should be something that is at the forefront of our mind as we're going through the self-examination. And the Passover is a reminder of our covenant with God and the covenant relationship that we have entered into with Christ. We examine ourselves so we fully recognize our need to take the Passover. That's the purpose of the examination, not to make us downtrodden, not to rehash all the negatives, but is to remind us and recognize our need to take the Passover, recognize our need for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In verse 29, it talks about judgment, and it says, "But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come." So he's saying that if you take the Passover in an unworthy manner, in a wrong attitude, that judgment is you're guilty of death, that you're guilty of the penalties because, again, your sins are not covered. So the repentance that we see here, examination should bring us to repentance, and that's what we should be looking for. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, and look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul warns the New Testament church not to fail like the Israelites did. So let's look at the parallel between what Israel did and what we could find ourselves doing. So if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "And therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the days of trial in the wilderness." So they're talking about when they were wandering, the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. It says, "Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Meaning that he would not let them enter the promised land, right? All of those that crossed the Red Sea and were over 20, they wandered for 40 years, and then they were not allowed to enter the promised land. They could not enter the rest. Paul is warning them. The Israelites, remember, they preferred slavery to trekking in the desert. In verse 12, Paul's message to the New Testament church, it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from your living God." Unbelief, doubting God. Paul is warning them. The Israelites simply would not believe God. They didn't trust God. They said, "You've taken us out of there to starve. But we had leeks back in Egypt. You've only given us manna. We need meat." So he gave them meat. Right? Give them fowl. But their heart was in Egypt. They yearned to go back to slavery, safely. What's the parallel for us? Do we yearn to go back to sin, to our slavery, to sin? Do we find God's way hard, the path difficult? Deceitfulness of sin is not about sinning, but rather it's the desire to go back to sin, to see sin as something you want, you wish you had. You know, back in high school, do you wish that you could go to the Friday night games? Do you have, right today, what is it that you desire that you miss? You can't go to the college football games on Saturday, right? Do we yearn for that? The Israelites desired Egypt over the promised land. The older generation was not allowed to enter because of their unbelief. So let's look at Israel's shortfall and let's see what could cause us to take the Passover in an unworthy manner. They didn't trust God. Israel did not trust God for safe passage to the promised land. For us, do we doubt that God will complete the work that he has begun in each one of us? Again, they didn't trust God. Israel had a desire to return to slavery. Do we, at times, desire sin more than we love God's love and his promises for us? The Israelites said that the journey to the promised land was too difficult. Eating manna, the hot desert. We had more choices in Egypt of our food. Do we find our spiritual journey too difficult? Do we believe that God's way is harsh, restrictive, and keeps us from having fun? We have to check our attitude. When we examine ourselves, these are some of the things that we need to look at. And then under the new covenant, I ask the question, do we trust that the worth of God's sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, do we trust that is sufficient and we accept his forgiveness? You know, is Christ's sacrifice worthy enough to cover all of our sins? Was Christ's life sufficient to cover the penalty of all of our things? These are four attitudes that we can keep, that can keep us from keeping the Passover or taking the Passover in a worthy manner. So when we go through our self-examination, look at these things, ask ourselves. These attitudes can diminish our ability to repent and cause us to become unworthy. We must be careful that deep inside, we don't yearn to return to slavery to sin, to return to life that we once lived. And we must never doubt or lose trust in God that he will complete the work that he has started in each one of us. You know, the Bible is very clear that we're to examine ourselves. But what is the expected outcome when we examine ourselves? In Ephesians chapter 3, and let's start in verse 14. If you would, turn with me, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length, depth and height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's what we should get when we examine ourselves. We should come to a fuller understanding of what God has done for us. That we come to that deep down in our heart, we know that this the journey that we're on is worth it. That Christ paid for our transformation with his life, and that he desires that we come to love him. He desires, not just that he has done it for us, but that he wants us, he wishes this for us. He desires we to come to love him, and that we love his laws with all of our heart, all of our soul, our mind, that we are with him all the way, and that we come to know the width and the length, the depth and the height of the love that God has for each one of us. That's what we should concentrate on as we examine ourselves. In verse 20 and 21, let's continue. It says, "And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." The life of a Christian can be difficult at times, but the journey is critical for the development of our character, that we take on the character of Christ as we grow, as we go through this opportunity to follow God in this life. And God asks us to examine ourselves before taking the Passover, to draw closer to God, to be filled with the knowledge of God, and that we will never turn our back on Him. That should be our ask as we examine ourselves at this time of the year. Let's look at one other thing that should be on our top of mind as we examine ourselves and we come into the Passover season. And that's in Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 51. And it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out all my transgressions." As we examine ourselves, let this be what we ask God to do. Let's ask God to have mercy upon us, to blot out all of our transgressions. And it says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And if we do that, if we ask God as we examine ourselves, we will be certain that we will be worthy to take the Passover. And in Colossians, as a closing scripture, it's interesting the wording that he uses here in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 9. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, this is adds a lot of confidence. Says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." In verse 10, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord." If we walk worthy of the Lord, we're worthy to take the Passover. And let's see what it says. It says, "walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." But here in verse 12, I want you to pay attention. It says, "giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us." Qualified us. That means that, you know, if you run a qualifier, it means that you are in the next race. God has done that for us. He has qualified each one of us, qualified us to be able to take the Passover in a worthy manner. And then he says, "he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." The very thing that is pictured on Passover, the forgiveness of sin. Christ has qualified us, and then the purpose of the Passover is to be reminded of the sacrifice that Christ had made for us and for the need for that sacrifice so that we can be and will be forgiven of our sins and that we will be redeemed from the penalty of sin. So the Passover is a very solemn and sobering occasion. It's not to be taken lightly or in a festive atmosphere, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The deep meaning for all Christians, because it is only through the sacrifice of Christ, which is pictured in this service, it is only through that sacrifice that we have the opportunity to have our sins covered and the death penalty waived. Brethren, we should never be concerned that we are unworthy to take the Passover, that we would not take part in that Passover service, because it is a required service of God. It is a required festival. It is an important part of God's plan for salvation of mankind. God requires us to observe the Passover every year to remind us of the tremendous price that Christ paid in order for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be granted promise of the eternal life in the kingdom of God. So let's examine ourselves with an attitude of humility, joy, and thanksgiving for what God is offering to us so that we can take the Passover in a worthy manner.